You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
Yeah, we are back. That's right. It's the 80th installment of the Church of the Lampshade Show, and it is great to be congregating once again. Glad you stopped by, whether you're just first time stopping by the Church of the Lampshade or whether you're a longtime member of the congregation. It's great to get together. Always look forward to it. I'm just excited to get together with you all this week. And I think we've got a lot of stuff to discuss. I've got some stuff actually jotted down this week. Believe it or not, that's an amazing thing if you don't know. I usually just kind of completely freewheel it this week, but I've had some things cross my mind during the week, so I've got that jotted down. If you are new around here, we do actually have, the name would imply, we do actually have a Christian-specific message. That's later on in the show, but before we get to that, we like to congregate. We like to stand around and visit a little bit, and it's a lot of fun. Like I say, if you haven't stopped by before, I think you're really going to enjoy it. I think we've got something really special here. Like I said, it is the 80th installment of this show, and we always like to start off thanking those who aren't shy, pay those tithes. It is very much appreciated and very much makes a difference. I do very much appreciate if you want to be a part of that. Info's at the bottom of the description page. We've got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. If you got some weirdo cryptocurrency, drop me an email. I'll try to get you an address for that. So let's get right into the listener support mailbag, and then we'll get on into the rest of our discussions for this week. First up, this is from Brian Hale, brother. As always, I hope this finds you well. I've been enjoying the show's services and getting a lot out of it. I often have a question or two, but I never think to jot them down. And by the time I send this letter, I usually have completely forgotten whatever it was. Anyway, keep on rocking, brother. And as always, let me know if there's any specific prayer requests. Brian, very much appreciated. And, you know, I know that feel. I'll do that during the week. Like a lot of times if I'm away from the house and I'm thinking about things, I'm always trying to think about things. And something will pop in my head, and it's like, that would be a great thing to discuss on the show. And I don't, like you say, I don't write it down. And then, sometimes I usually record this show on Saturday mornings. Saturday mornings rolls around, and I'm like, all right, what the hell am I going to talk about this week? And I'm like, I know there was something earlier in the week I was thinking that would be a really good thing to talk about. And it's gone. I've got nothing. So, yeah, I know that feel as far as prayer requests. Nothing specific, but as far as myself, I always recommend praying for all the believers, because we are in, shall we say, extremely trying times. These are the times where men's souls will be sifted, and there's going to be a lot of sorting out. There's a lot of sorting out going on right now, the true faithful and everybody else. And it's not a fun process, but it is what it is. We're in the times that we get. Nobody gets to choose what days they're born into. So we just make the best out of it. Well, I can. It's easy to feel like we got cheated, you know. You look back on years that were simpler, especially if you're like me and you're getting a few years on you, you know. Random thought, talking about a few years on you. This is one of those random thoughts that popped in my head the other day. You know, if you're old enough to remember that when you set the presets on the radio in your pickup, or your car, you know, it meant grabbing that button and yanking that bastard all the way out and then pushing it back in. If you're old enough, you know what I'm talking about, you know. And even then, sometimes the radio station would wander because, you know, you didn't have numbers. You just had that little orange needle thing there, and you just tried to, that sounds a little bit clearer. Maybe back the other way. Hard to do while you're on the move. But no, if you're old enough like me, remember when things weren't clownish and times weren't this way. I don't know if that is harder than it is for folks who are just simply born into clown world and don't know any different. But it's something to be old enough to know and remember when things weren't crazy and retarded and we just all thought we were going to have normal lives for our whole life. And here we are smack down in these times of judgment, smack in the middle of clown world, these tumultuous times. So these are the times that try men's souls. So I always recommend just remembering all of the believers, because you may think you're praying for a whole lot of people, but actually by the time it's done, I don't think there's going to be that many. Rock Dad, modest donation, Grandpa, love the show. Do appreciate it. As I told somebody in email earlier this week, you know, I know it's not possible for there to be something for everyone in each show, but it is always my hope that there'll at least be something for somebody in each show. So, you know, if you get one of these shows, you're a regular listener and you tune in, it's like, I guess that was okay. Well, you know, there might be something you really like next week. I mean, we do what we can, and there's going to be some people be like, I don't like what you're doing with the show at all. And there's going to be people that, you know, really do, you know, they dig it. And it's like, you know, just stick with it. We try to cover a lot of different things and not necessarily just keep hitting the same stuff that everybody else is talking about. We try to be unique and informative. We try to be insightful, get you to thinking about things maybe from an angle you haven't before, while at the same time being entertaining. You know, we're serious, but we try to laugh. We try to have fun with all of this. It's that way of keeping sanity. Let's see here. Next up from David. Hello, Grandpa. Love your presentations, and I'm glad to have discovered BitChute, on which are about 8 programs with you. Not sure why there aren't more availability, but I'm grateful for what are available. I like what St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. Always be cheerful, prayful, and thankful. Best to you, David. And yeah, you know, thanks to whoever's sticking it up on BitChute. You know, we're not like the normal mainstream, you know, media, I guess, or whatever, would be like, get that off of BitChute. This is copyright material. We're like, great, getting it out, you know. Very much appreciate it. If more people can find it, that's, you know, it's all the better. And yeah, you know, the last part there, it really, it's hard to do that, you know, again in these trying times, but we really do. We've got to try to be upbeat. We've got to try to, that's why I always tell people that, you know, unplug from it for a few days. You know, just sometimes you have to unplug from clown world. Trust me, it ain't going away. It'll be there, you know, on Monday or whenever you decide to unplug from it. It'll be there when you get back. I mean, it'll be there. You got to unplug for it. We got to try to stay cheerful. We got to try to stay upbeat. It doesn't mean we're denying reality or that we're, you know, being silly or naive, but you got to keep your sanity. And I think the absolute worst thing you can do is just do nothing but keep up with this stuff. I stay interested in this stuff. I keep up with it. I try to follow what's going on, the latest happenings and all of that sort of thing. But you just got to absolutely unplug from it and try to keep yourself, your mental health together. Up next, Debbie, Grandpa Lampshade, thank you for the shows. Thinking about God creating time. That was very interesting. All your shows are informative, and I enjoy them very much. My prayers are with you. Keep up the good work, Debbie. And yeah, I do appreciate it, and I do appreciate the prayers, appreciate the support. And it's what we try to, you know, like I say, whether we're discussing all the things going on around the world, where we get into the Christian-specific segment, we try to get things from a different angle, from an angle maybe people haven't thought of before. And of course, with as I say over and over and over again, you know, the modern cut church has become so one-dimensional and absolutely a parody of itself. It's actually easier than one would think, you know, to actually get into scripture and cover things from a new way. You wouldn't think. You would think, my gosh, you know, there's how many churches in the world and they're all preaching from this same book. You know, it's just you could pick one and get the same message, but it's not. I mean, the modern cut church just does basically the same messaging over and over again and dancing to the tune of this world, which is in, of course, opposition to what the scripture says. It's a big red flag. They've gone way off track. So yeah, you know, we're able to do that. We're able to keep it fresh, and it is very much appreciated. Finally, Mr. TGPL, could you talk about the importance of marriage, the responsibilities, etc.? I'm blessed that I've been married over 30 years and love my wife, tongue-tied there. Love my wife as much now as then, Mr. T. Well, you know, and it can be a blessing. It really should be a blessing. And just like everything else in this clown world that we live in now, it's a very much a rarity. You know, we get into, you go on with, you know, sites or forums or whatever, people get into the discussion of marriage, and this usually ties into discussion about women, and it gets very negative very quickly. And a lot of times guys will pipe in, you know, and be like, you know, I've been married this long, blah, 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 blah. And the thing that always strikes me about that is how much people take it for granted. You know, those people that pipe in and say, you know, y'all shouldn't be down on women, or you shouldn't be down on marriage. You know, it's, you know, they're out there. I found this wonderful woman, and that's good and all. And no, we're not going to get off into one of those discussions. But one of the things that it always strike me about that has always struck me about that is the way in which the people who mean well, you know, I'm not really being critical, but, you know, the guys that say how they have a wonderful wife and things such as that, how easy it is, how it comes off is a lot of times people take that for granted, you know, of what a rarity it is to find that. And it really is. Having a marriage where you know, you both get along and you're both very much in love and you're loving towards each other and you're happy, you know, appreciate and praise God for that. I really mean that, because it is a very rarity, especially in these times. It's very much like finding a diamond or a piece of gold somewhere. You know, you're digging along and all of a sudden you find a jewel buried in a field and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, how in the world did I find this? It really is a rarity, and one shouldn't ever have the attitude like, well, heck, you can find a diamond in a field. I did. You know, no, it is a very rare thing, and it is very much a blessing from God in these modern times. People, you know, love has been redefined now as lustfulness. And so, of course, as people, you know, chase after quote unquote love as defined by the modern world, they just simply are chasing after lustfulness. And it's inevitable that the lustfulness is going to die off. You know, I mean, it just does. It's just the nature of things. And when the lustfulness dies off, then all of a sudden they're out of love and, you know, they just keep rotating around. And it's part of the chaos that has been imposed on our modern society that people are immersed in. And they don't even realize it. They don't even realize they think this is freedom. They think this is some sort of liberation. You know, to chase around after this ever fleeting feel that's never going to last. I mean, the lustfulness is going to die off. I don't care, you know, who you're with or whatever. A certain amount does not mean you might still not be attracted to them or whatever. But that, you know, lustfulness you have when you first are seeing somebody and all of that, I mean, that is going to die off. It's inevitable. It's just the way human biology works and the way the human mind works and things such as that. And, you know, what comes after that? You know, and people that jump up and they get married in a fit of lust and then that dies off and they're like, what the hell did I do? So, it is. It is a blessing. It is a rarity. And it's something that if you have that, you ought to be very, very grateful for it. So, good deal. So, yeah, that wraps up the listener supporter mailbag. Once again, I do appreciate it. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. That info's at the bottom of the page. Let's get off into this week's discussion. As I said, I actually jotted down this week. We were talking earlier. Forget to jot it down. Right? Or you're in a spot where you can't jot things down. You're driving down the road, maybe. And I ought to start recording that on my phone. You know, just like hit the record button. Here's an idea for the show. So that later, you know, that idea is fresh. But this one stuck in my mind because I was pondering. I could ponder it for a little bit and put it in the back of my mind and thought we would sit around and ponder it together this week, discuss these things. We think about, of course, we look at the clown world around us, the spiraling downhill that the West is going through. And of course, we have all of this confusion, people going through all of these things, you know, don't know what's going on with it. Why is the world going crazy? And you talk to normies and they have no clue. They're trying to figure it out. And as part of our mentoring normies show we did here, you got to be patient with them. You know, I noticed, you know, so many normies, they still act as though they're going to reason with these communists. I guess because they still in their mind, they think they're just misguided liberals. And they act like, you know, they could, you know, show them, you know, a reasonable argument, and they could sit down and reason with these people, and they don't understand there is no reasoning. This is about raw power. It's about raw intimidation. It's about forcing you to submit. And yet so many normicons are stuck in this trap of still thinking that somehow they're going to sit down and reason with these people, make them understand that they're not evil, you know, hateful people. It doesn't matter. They don't even think you're that. They just are dehumanizing you so that they can subjugate you. I was thinking about the 1776er crowd. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that are like, if this keeps up, it's going to be 1776. I can tell you, as I said, this kind of sounds like my Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones, I think, said that line. It's going to be 1776 and we're fixing to water that tree. And you know what I mean? I don't do a good imitation, but you know the ones, the 1776er crowd. We just get to, they're the ones that like to, whenever you talk about the democracy and the voting, and they're like, let me remind you, this is a republic. See, you don't even know what you're talking about. As if what we have today in any way, shape, or form remotely resembles what the founders set up. So I got to thinking about this. You know, we're always, the communists are always looking to have a new neo to create, you know, neo-Nazis. Nobody can tell us what that actually means, but okay, they're neo-Nazis. One of the ones they love to throw around here recently, I've seen, and it's been around for a few years, I guess, but it's gained in popularity, and that is neo-Confederate. You seen that one? If you have support, you know, I don't know, having, you know, recognizing that the Confederacy did exist and a Confederate flag or Southern heritage, you're a neo-Confederate. These things, these terms they use have no definition. Remember that. And remind your normies of that, too. These things have no definition. You think they do. You think they're calling you something, but it has no definition. They couldn't, if you press them for it, they couldn't give you a definition. Really, what the hell does a neo-Confederate mean? It's obviously the way the tone is set. It's supposed to mean you're some form of evil person. But what the hell does it even mean? What, you want to go back and make blacks pick cotton? Well, that's retarded. No, who would want to do that? You want to force blacks back into the cotton fields to pick up? Why would you want to do that? We have equipment that does that much more efficiently than forcing blacks to go pick cotton. So it can't mean that you want to reinstitute slavery and force blacks to pick cotton. So what the hell does neo-Confederate even mean? It doesn't mean anything. You'll drive yourself crazy trying to put a definition on it because it doesn't mean anything. It's an emotional word. It's a dehumanizing word. They call you these words. They call you these terms. It means you're not really a person. Trust me, it'll come into play later if they get their way. To persecute you on a large scale, to imprison you, to marginalize you, and even worse, to march you to the ditch if it comes to that. It requires dehumanizing you. That way the people, they need to go out there and do it because, you know, they got to have people willing to go out there and do it. And if those people that they send out to do it think of you as a fellow human being, they'll have a hard time with that. Any soldier that's been in combat will tell you it's a necessity. You can't think of those as other people. That's why they always come up with names, you know? Come with the name, those Krauts, Charlie, these Gooks, Nips, name whatever name. It's a dehumanizing thing because if you think of them as a fellow human being, hey, yeah, you're talking about killing a fellow human being. It requires dehumanizing. They just become a target. You just think of them as a target out there. You don't even think of them as a person. You're just shooting a target. Ooh, I got it. Ooh, look, I got two of them. I got a little target. I'm a better shot. I'm not trying to be flippant about that. I'm trying to point out that the essence, the essential nature of dehumanization, and this is what these terms are for. Your neo-Confederate doesn't mean, it's not supposed to have a meaning beyond dehumanizing. You're a bad person means you're not really human. You're neo-Confederate. You hate blacks and want to do something to them or something. Because Confederate flag and picking cotton or whatever the hell, it has no actual meaning. Again, it's the same thing. Neo-Nazi. What the hell does that even mean? Nobody's been able to tell me yet. I mean, some people say, well, that means guys that dress up in you know, Nazi costumes and march around. I mean, who the hell does that? I don't know anybody. Well, I mean, I guess there are people who do that. It's a very small group of people. But what the hell does it even mean? Does it have a meaning? It's like this neo-Confederate thing. But anyway, getting back on point, reeling things back in. I think we need to give him another new Neo. And I think I should start this. I'm a Neo founder. Yeah, that's right. Joining the 1776 crowd. I'm a Neo founder. Maybe we could call it a foundermentalist. I like that, foundermentalist. Neo founder. What does that mean? Means getting back to what the 1776 crowd always says. We want to get back to what the founders established in the Constitution. Let's do it, bitches. Let's do it. It's one of the fun things to jump onto, too, because these people that pipe up with it, you know, and it's like, look, I'm for it. If you could snap your fingers today and get back to the letter of what the founding fathers established, I would do it now. But, you know, you start pointing out what that means, and these people who will tell you they're all about the original founders and what they intended because we're a republic. Good. No women voting. Yes. Whoa there, buddy. Wait a minute. No. You say you want to get what the founders intended, and I'm on board. No women voting. No non-whites voting. That's what the founders established. Hell, the founders established that most white men couldn't vote. Why did they do that? Because they realized that people are retarded. They realized that the vast majority of people are stupid and have no business voting or deciding where direction the country's going in. Let's get back to the Senate. Is it voted on at all by the people? It's picked by the state legislature. Let's get with that. Oh, watch these people that always love talk big shit about, I want to get back to what the founding fathers established. Watch them backpedal when you start really nailing down. Hell yeah, I'm on board. Hell, all of a sudden they think wanting to establish Fourth Reich sounds downright reasonable. Wait a minute. Copying what Hitler did sounds a little less crazy than getting back to what the founders did now that you point these things out. Getting to the point, there is one, believe it or not, many points here. We're just rocking along. Getting kind of to the point of what I was thinking about, this modern definition, because what the founders established is irrelevant. What the founders established in the United States of America is as relevant to what we have today is what the modern German government has in common with the Third Reich. There's nothing in common. It has nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other. These people that pipe up, I'd remind you, it's a Republican and the founders established. That's great. It has got a damn thing to do with what we have today. Good on you. Oh, you have a minuscule knowledge of history, sort of. Except you didn't think it through that women can't vote, non-whites can't vote, and most white men can't vote because most people are freaking retarded. They shouldn't be voting. That's why they restricted it. They were very hesitant. They were like, okay, we're going to go with a form of voting, but we have to factor in the fact that most people are freaking retarded. So we can't have these people having any sort of say. And now look where we are today. It's because we can look at the flip side of this, the mirror image of this. The founders, in their wisdom, and they were smart guys. They were perfect. But they were smart guys. They realized that most people being retarded and stupid have no business having a say in the direction of the government. They just need to be going through their lives and taking care of business. It wasn't looking down on people. It was just understanding that, you know, people need to be, you know, people that basically live a drone life need to be drones and to go through their life without worry. Without worry about politics or where the government's going. They're not smart enough to understand the nuance and the issues. People that have a demonstrated track record of, you know, a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of foresight, these probably should be the people, you know, thinking about these things, choosing these things. But you look at what the founders established, and we look at the mirror opposite of it, which is what we have today. This modern democracy shit system that we have in the United States today, where the founders realized the importance of not having retards and morons voting. The modern democracy system requires dumbasses. It does. It requires. Look, if you go through life, and you have, you're listening to the show, you have, you know, you're going along and you're talking to somebody IRL, you run into somebody IRL, you start talking to them, and within a few seconds, you realize this guy is dumber than a box of shit. You know what I'm saying? You're talking to somebody within 30 seconds of the conversation. You know, you start off, you think, hey, this guy, probably a reasonable guy. You start talking to this guy, you realize this guy's dumber than a box of shit. Then you start to consider his vote cancels mine out. If you're an insightful person and you think about these things and you understand, you've been studying it for years and you understand the nuance of politics and where the country's going and why we have to stop it and we've got to get things turned around and we've got to do something, we've got to establish something else, or maybe secession's the better idea. You've thought about these things thoroughly. And you have as much say in the government as this guy that can't keep from sticking a loaf of bread up his nose because he's so freaking stupid. A screeching SJW white woman on the street with Black Lives Matter, her vote cancels yours out. Congratulations. It's a requirement of this modern democracy system that the more stupid people can vote, the better. The more people who are easily emotionally manipulated can vote, the better. This is what the system requires. This is why what the founders established, there were all these very thorough restrictions on who could actually vote. Because that was supposed to be like one of the checks and balances, one of the safeguards of the system, that it wouldn't degrade into the shit show that we have today. Everybody says, what if the founders could see where we are today? They would be rolling in their graves. No, they would look. First thing they would look at is who all you let vote. And they would be like, what in the hell is wrong with you people? Well, let's see here. Oh, my goodness. Yes, this is horrible. Look what a clown world you all live in. How did it come to this? How did what we established come to this? And then they would look and be like, who all can vote? Freaking everybody. What are you doing here? You took the main feature of the system that was supposed to keep it having it, you know, have a chance of working properly, and you blew that up. You got women voting. You got every nationality in the world, every race in the world voting. You got white guys that, you know, can't even think for themselves. Well, you got all these morons voting and choosing the direction of your government, the direction of your nation, and you're shocked that you live in an utterly corrupt clown world. I'm going back in my grave. That's what I ain't rolling in my grave. Piss on y'all. We figured our deal out. Y'all figure your shit out. I'm going back in the grave. Piss on you. That's what they'd say. The modern democracy takes in the knowledge that most people are stupid. Most people are ignorant. Most people don't have time nor the inclination to really be informed about any of these things. You think about it, they try to portray these restrictions that the founders put in it as like being mean or racist or blah, blah, blah. So sick of those terms. But it's actually taking a burden off of the people. No, really. I mean, it's taking a burden off of these people. If you were a guy back in those days and you were farming 4 acres with a mule and trying to figure out a way to scratch out a living, the last thing you want to do is sit down and try to figure out, okay, what should our policy towards Spain be? You ain't got time for that. You're trying to plow your acreage with a mule, sweating your ass off, hoping it rains so your crop comes up. They took that burden off them. Look, you ain't got to worry about that. They got these guys, they're smart, and they got people that work for them, so they have a little time to sit around and consider the nuances of these things. That they put this burden on the people that they're ill-prepared for. They're ill-prepared for it. Time, most people don't have the inclination. And most people now, due to the amount of drugs that have been in circulation in the system and the nonstop mental programming of the modern media, people are retarded. They're stupid. No clue. Listen to these screaming commies out on the streets. They don't even know what they want. Abolish the police. We don't want any police. Oh my gosh, a car just drove through him. Call the police. Get his license plate number. It never dawns on them. Their shit is incoherent. Why? Because they're stupid. They have no business having a say in anybody's politics, in the nation's, the direction of the nation, or the nation's government. They have no clue. They're incoherent because they're stupid. Most people are stupid. Obviously, if you listen to this show, you have some common sense. Got enough sense to know to listen to this show. But you know what I'm talking about. Go through your day to day. Try to be patient with people. At the end of the day, you're like, my gosh, what the hell is wrong? What the hell is wrong? People, so many people you run into are like one step above, you don't know, picking and eating their own boogers and shit. You know, it's like, what the hell? Come on, folks. And what? When it comes to foreign policy, the Czar government wants to export it everywhere else. You need more freedoms. These people over in this country that 99% of the American people couldn't point out on a map, they need more freedom. They need more democracy. It's always the freedom and democracy. The democracy is presented as the end all virtue. It's an idol. It's idolatry. It really is. It's idolatry. If you look at a country, if you looked to a country that has a well-functioning monarchy, which, you know, let's be honest, some form of dictatorship is essentially a monarchy. They just put a different name on it. The dictator is filling the role of a monarch. It's dictator sounds more evil. It's more sinister. Kind of like neo-founder, neo-confederate, neo-Nazi. It's a dictator. It's basically a king. And you look at this society, it has a well-functioning authoritarian state. The people are happy. Everything's good. But you tell the American people, my gosh, they don't have the democracy. And everybody's like, they got to have the democracy. How can you go through life without having the democracy? The democracy is the pinnacle. It is an idol to bow down and worship to. These color revolutions, they're trying to convert them to the religion. They're like sending in your religious fanatics into this stable, well-functioning, semi-authoritarian state. You send your religious fanatics in there. Got to convert them to the religion. They all talk shit about the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims, the Muslims. Let me tell you, the democracy worshipers are the real fanatics. Really, you think about it. The Muslims look like pikers compared to the democracy worshipers. They don't care if you could point to this nation state and say, yeah, but they're well functioning. The people are happy. The ruler looks after things. Everything's running smoothly. It doesn't matter. They don't have the democracy. They have to bow down before our God. The democracy, the voting. My gosh, they don't have enough women's rights. Why aren't they promoting more homosexuality? They don't have enough freedom. And on it goes. And people wonder why it sickens me when someone spouts out, God bless America. I always like to say, no, I checked again just to be sure. Nope, he's still pissed. still working up that judgment thing. Still pouring out that cup. God bless America. Why? Why in the hell would he? Why the hell would he? America goes around the world promoting idolatry, a false god called democracy and the freedoms. Once again, it's one of those terms anymore. Nobody can even define it. They got to have the freedom and democracy. Okay, what freedom? Well, the freedom to have homosexual sex on the sidewalk in front of a church. That's real freedom. It always sounds like, you ever notice that when they spout off about the freedom, really what it comes down to is promoting some sort of sexual degeneracy. And ultimately, it seems to wind up the higher up the elite ladder you get, the closer it comes to being the reality that for some reason, I don't know why, for some reason, the higher up the elite ladder you get, they want to have sex with little kids. This seems to be the ultimate thing. I have no freaking clue why, and I'm honestly glad I have no clue why. I really, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's never enough. You see, when you chase after lustfulness, and no, we're not getting into the sermon early, but when you chase after lustfulness and sin, and that becomes the consuming thing of your life, you know, pretty soon sex with all these different women isn't enough. Then you have to do this other degenerate sex, and then this other and this other to get that same rush. You know, people talk about pornography. You know how it rewires your brain. You got to look at more and more extreme porn to get that same hit, you know. But actual sex can be like that if you just go chasing after endless, that endless stimulation. Pretty soon regular sex isn't enough. Then you're doing this weird BDSM, choke your ass out, wearing a gimp suit looking, gimp suit looking shit. And the ultimate is they want to have sex with children. This seems to be ultimately what it comes down to. Pizzagate's been debunked. Really? Can you point to where it was debunked? They never can. They just say it was debunked. Just like all the 9/11 stuff was debunked. They can't actually tell us how it was debunked, but the media says so. So we're supposed to believe that. Look at the endless spiraling of sexual degeneracy in this country. It always has, the higher up the elite ladder you get, it always eventually lands on the answer being they want to have sex with kids. But that's freedom. That's the freedom that your elites, that your ruling class in the shit show clown world we have. That's the quality of leadership you have. I think of the Bible, and I believe it's in Proverbs. It might be Ecclesiastes. I don't have it in front of me right now, and I'm not going to take the time because we're not even in the Christian segment. But the Bible says a horrible thing I saw is princes walking while slaves ride horseback. And, of course, dumbass Americans think slaves, that means they don't like black people. Like black people were the... Yes, they're talking about blacks in the Old Testament. Princes walking while slaves ride horseback. That is like the founding principle of our modern democracy. People of high moral character, you're not allowed anywhere near running things. You have to have taken a trip to Epstein's Island if you want to be in the ruling class. And they keep dancing that story. They can't keep it down. So what did they make it about? They were going to have sex with these young 17-year-old girls. No, you're not getting blackmail material by filming some guy screwing a 17-year-old girl. Believe me, they did. This is their way of like watering the story down to where they're technically reporting on it, not ignoring it, but at the same time, they're keeping you out of where we all know it is really going. They weren't just going there having sex with, you know, 17-year-old girls that were looking to live the high life with rich and powerful men. We know where that's, we know it. We don't have evidence of it, but come on. You don't go to those elaborate lengths to go hook up with a teenage girl. You're a rich and powerful, well-known figure. Believe me, you will have no shortage of attractive women wanting to have sex with you. You don't have to get on Epstein's plane to fly to his weird cult-like island. Common sense. Princes walk while slaves ride horseback. The lowest slick talkers, the most degenerate, the best liars, the most corruptible, the biggest shitheads. That's who rules over the West today. Slaves riding horseback, people of high moral character. People of high moral character, they're shoved into the shadows of society as if they were something to be ashamed of. We have degenerate pride parades where people are grinding on each other in the streets and it's a parade. People of high moral character are pushed into the shadows. Don't you dare try to impose your morality on others by what? Freaking existing? You can exist. You can believe in God. Just shut the hell up and stay in the shadows. Stay quiet. We're having a pride parade this week. It's all about pride. Pride in what? Some guy's got a thong and he's running up and down the street with a dildo hanging out of his ass. How is that prideful? People of high moral character, people who have tried to live a better life, a life of some sort of morality and standards, are told to shut up. Get in the back corner. Be quiet. This is the modern world. And it all comes back down to having as many stupid people voting as possible. It makes it all possible. You can't have thoughtful people choosing, you know, who represents the nation, who's making these decisions. You can't have thoughtful people, you know, we can't have the right to vote restricted to thoughtful people. You have to have the right to vote, you know, given to everybody. People who are easily emotionally manipulated. And now that the media programming is so ironed out and down to a perfection, and it's been in place for generations now, all the better. Because there aren't very many thoughtful people left anyway. So now you have the morons. You have the dumbasses. And they all come out and vote. And the system just rocks along. Except now the system is starting to collapse under its own corruption, under the weight of its own corruption. And even as things collapse here, we're going about what? Promoting more freedoms and more democracy. And other countries around the world, oh, you're way too stable. You need more freedom and democracy so you could be just like us, a downward spiraling shit show. It amazes me because it's an idolatry, the idolatry of the democracy. And nobody thinks twice about it. Why are we worried about democracy in Hong Kong? Why do we care? Because they have to have it. Why? Because it's a false god. It's a false god that whether people acknowledge it or not, people in the West worship it. We can't live without the democracy. Well, yes, you can. People lived for centuries without the democracy just fine. No, this is not possible to live without the democracy. It's a false god. It's idolatry. This idolatry slips up. People commit it and don't even realize they're committing it. It's a god to them. They send their missionaries out in the form of these color revolutions to convert the country. Think of all the freedoms you'll have. Anybody in that country be like, well, what are these freedoms exactly? Once again, don't ask us to define that. Best thing we can come up with is more degeneracy. We can destroy your family unit, destroy your marriages, destroy your children, destroy your economy, destroy your lives. It's freedom. You're going to love it. I don't know if that song, there's a song called Welcome to Hard Times. I think guy sings his name's Charlie Crockett. And it just, for some reason, that popped into my mind, you know, Welcome to Hard Times, you know, don't like sinning, you will before you go. Yeah, it makes me think of that. It's such a good analogy, a good comparison, I guess, of this notion of the freedom, the democracy that they run around the world promoting, even as the whole system right now in this country is collapsing in on itself. And make no mistake, when you talk about the West of Germany, that's what we kind of tend, because I'm here in America, stuck here in America like the rest of you. And we tend to be America-centric, but let's don't kid ourselves. I mean, you look at Western Europe, the democracy systems in Western Europe, they're propped up by the existence of the U.S. I mean, if the system collapses completely in the U.S., is the current systems that are in Europe and Western Europe, are those going to hold together? No. No. And ultimately, the system is collapsing. I mean, like, all of these people are scrambling around. We are having it's a presidential election year, but scrambling around the candidates. You know, we all know Biden, you know, actually it's the Kamala Harris presidency they're running for, because Biden doesn't know if he's horseback or foot. And, you know, it's just like the quality of people running just gets lower and lower and lower. You know, it keeps getting worse because the whole thing is spiraling out. And yet, everybody wants that last little bit of power from it. They want to pretend as though, you know, and they give these speeches, you know, about we're going to bring the country together. America's greatest days are in front of them. What level of denial is required for that? Maybe they don't even believe it themselves. They're just thinking, I can get a few more things for myself before before the roof caves in from this huge structure fire, which is, I can get a few more precious, antique plates out of the house before it finishes burning down. I don't know. It's just completely absurd. So many people run around. They don't understand what's happening. They want it to go back to like what it was, but the house is fully engulfed now. It's not going back to the way it was. It could have been prevented some time back. Could have been held off at least, even just a number of years back. But everybody didn't want to listen to the warnings. The people didn't want to listen to the warnings. They wanted to believe everything would just be fine. Those who were shouting warnings from the rooftops, we don't need to listen to them. Janae Sayers, God bless America. We got democracy and we've got the freedoms. Wrap up on that note. We got to get into the Christian specific message. Look at the clock, and we might actually get in on time this week, because I don't think this week's Christian specific message will actually take that long. But if you're not sticking around for some reason or another, most people do, whether they're Christian believers or not. I don't know how many times I've had Christian believers be like, I don't really believe in all that, but I do like the sermon in the Church of the Lampshade. But of course you do, because like the rest of the show, it's entertaining, it's fun, and it is insightful. So whether you're sticking around, if you're not sticking around, thanks for joining us. Come back next week. All of that, you're welcome. Come hang out. For everybody else, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. I'm going to pause our recording while I go get a fresh cup of coffee. Recommend you do the same. Let's get into this week's sermon here in the Church of the Lampshade. Okay, so hopefully you're all cozy now. Yes, I did pause recording. It's like a new day. I paused recording for a minute, got a fresh cup of coffee. The vape is refilled. And so we get into a Christian-specific message. I don't think it'll take long, but who knows? May get off on a tangent. What are the odds of that? As you know, I go on, seems like, to infinity about action, faith. We did a whole show last week on, your faith being a thing of action. I tell people all the time, not emotion. Nothing in the Bible, nothing in the scripture deals with empty emotionalism. And not to beat a dead horse to death. I thought it might be interesting this week to look at the flip side of that, because I talk all the time about your faith being action. But what about doubt? What about your doubt? Because if there's one thing we as Christian believers tend to beat ourselves up over, and is doubting. Forgive us, Lord, when we doubt. How many times have we prayed that? But are you really guilty of doubting? We'd like to do some scripture reading here. It won't be a whole lot. Matthew 21, we're just going to do 28 through 30. I'll be honest, this probably isn't the best verse of scripture to highlight this, but it's what came to me, so that's what we're going to use. Jesus speaking here, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He repented, he went. He took action. He repented and did something different. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I will go, sir. And went not. We'll hit the very first part of verse 31 here. Whether of them twain did the will of his father. Just as faith is action, so is doubt. And there's like this blurry line between the emotion that we feel. As a Christian believer, you probably at some point in time, more than likely, I would say with quite certainty, at some point in time, you've beaten yourself up over doubting the Lord, over your doubt. Versus having faith. You should have faith. You should feel confident. But I don't feel confident. Why am I doubting God? Why am I... You felt that. It's important not to deny the emotions you're having. A lot of people think the answer... Because if doubt is strictly just an emotion you're feeling, then you don't doubt. Then you just won't have that emotion. But you have it. How do you pretend that you don't feel what you feel? It's a really... Honestly, it's something that's out of your control when you feel these feels, it is. It's something, and it becomes a thing where when the scripture says to avoid certain things, it's a lot of it, you know, it's, let's take lust, for instance. You know, if you look at an attractive woman and you feel, you know, attracted to her, you look at her and you're like, you know, that physical reaction, you're like, damn, she hot.
She fine, yo.
Now, it doesn't do any good to sit here and say, oh, I don't really feel that way. I don't really, but you're just looking out of the corner of your eye like, are those real? And, but you see, if you lust after her, you feed that. You grab a hold of that and you start feeding it, and your mind starts racing and what if, and oh man, what would it be like? And it grows it. It's like you're watering it. It's like you might have weeds growing in your yard, but you don't want to go out there and fertilize them, do you? You want to go out there and pour water, make sure this weed gets a little taller. Recognize you have a weed in your yard, and maybe you can't pluck it out, but you can avoid watering it, and it'll die out on its own. That's kind of how these emotions are. You recognize them, and what's important is not to feed into them. As a Christian believer, there's no doubt at some point in time you've beaten yourself up over your lack of faith, over your doubt. Lord, help me. I keep doubting. But you're feeling this emotion that you're classifying as doubt. Just as we look at the scripture here, we have the two brothers. The one claimed to have faith emotionally, and he said, yes, I'll go and do it. But in the end, he didn't do shit. He told his father, he said, yeah, I'll go out in the vineyard and work. And then he went to town, hung out with his friends. His actions said he didn't have any faith. He did what he wanted. Likewise, the other one said, I will not. But in the end, he's like, I guess I will. Maybe he thought that the brother, it's a parable. So we're not going to get off into what he might have thought because it didn't happen. It was just a story and illustration Jesus gave. Before you get down on yourself and beating up yourself over because I'm doubting, I don't have enough faith in God, assess your actions. Just as faith is action, so is doubt. And I thought what we would look at is this fact that if you're down on yourself and you're like, man, I just keep doubting God, I don't have the faith I need to have. But what are you doing? Because if in the end you're actually still walking the path, you're still actually doing what you do, still actually reading, reading scripture and praying and trying to get closer to God, and you're trying to treat people, you're trying to do the right thing. More than likely, this doubt that you're beating yourself up over is simply an emotion that you're feeling, an emotion of uncertainty. And that's normal. Look, it does absolutely no good to deny what you're feeling. You know, we're supposed to seek truth as a central tenet of who you are, as a child of God, as a brother with Christ. You are supposed to seek truth. How can you seek truth if you lie to yourself, if you lie in yourself? If you sit here and say, I don't feel these things I'm feeling because those are bad feelings. How can you seek the truth when you're starting off from a standpoint of a lie? You're lying to yourself. We always think about that when the scripture tells you not to lie, do not bear false testimony. Don't lie. We know lying is a sin. Everybody does it. But the most, I think the most insidious lies, or many of the most insidious lies we tell, are when we start lying to ourselves. You start lying to yourself because you start building, you start making decisions, and then that leads to other decisions and other actions because you started with a foundation of a lie. You were lying to yourself. I wasn't feeling those feels. I wasn't thinking those thoughts. You're just lying to yourself. How can you build a walk of truth, a path of truth? How can you get going down a path of truth if you're constantly lying to yourself? Got to get real with yourself. Doesn't mean you have to go around and tell everybody your business. God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't say you have to do that. But you got to get honest with yourself. You got to get real with yourself. Quit denying the things you're feeling and the things going on with you. Stop and look at them. Now, don't sit there and feed them and water them and obsess over them, but don't deny they exist either. Back to our weed analogy. If those weeds in your yard happen to be them big damn stickers, the ones that look like they got goat horns, I'll call them goat head stickers. I don't know what the hell they're called. If you got a big bunch of sand burrs, you got a bunch of stickers in your yard. If you ignore the stickers, you don't want to water them. You don't want to fertilize them. You don't want more of them for sure. But if you go around and pretend there ain't no stickers in your yard and you go trotting out there barefoot because there's no stickers in my yard, your feet going to be hurting. You'll be sitting down trying to pull them out of your feet, and you sat in more stickers, and now they're in your hands, and you're covered in stickers. Because you deny the reality. Don't deny the emotions you're having. Don't feed them. Don't water them if they're sinful. But don't deny yourself. Don't start from a standpoint of lying to yourself. Because if you can realize what you're feeling, okay, this is what's going on. How do I deal with this? Because I don't want my mind going in that kind of direction. It leads to sin. It's a sinful direction. I don't want to do that. But you're not going to be able to avoid that if you just pretend it doesn't exist. You have to get real with yourself. But then you kind of will fall into a tendency to like beat yourself up. You know, you're beating yourself up because you're not doing things right. Why, if you were a good person, you wouldn't even have these things. You wouldn't be dealing with these things. You wouldn't be struggling with these things. I'm a bad person. You're sitting there telling yourself, I'm a bad person. I must be a bad person. How can God ever deal with me? But then stop and ask yourself, because I'm going to tell you, God is a whole lot more concerned with what you do than with what goes through your mind. You know, the problem with entertaining sinful thoughts is because it does lead to action. It does lead to action. If you sit there and water it and grow it and fertilize it because you keep obsessing over sin. And this is a catch for you, because if you obsess over it, even in the mindset of I'm trying not to do it and I want to get rid of this in my mind. If you obsess over it, it gets more powerful. Acknowledge that it's there, but don't feed it. Acknowledge that it's there. Be real with yourself. Don't sit there and pretend it doesn't exist. But don't focus on it as because it becomes encompassing. It becomes who you are. If you have an alcohol problem and all you sit around and think about is I'm an alcoholic and I know I'm going to want to drink, and it becomes encompassing. You give it more power by focusing on it. Yes, you need to be real with yourself. I got a drinking problem. I need to stay away from that. But don't let it define who you are, because you just make it more powerful. Eats you up. In the end, God is much more concerned with what you do. He judges your actions much more than he judges what goes on in your head, what emotions you are feeling. Just as our little bit of scripture we read, which of the two sons actually did God's will? Which one do you think the father at the end of the day was pleased with? The one that mouthed off and said, I'm not going to do it, but then went on and did what he was supposed to? Or the one that kissed ass and was like, sure, daddy, I'll go do that right away. And then went and drank in town with his friends all day. And really, is the father of these two sons going to be sitting there like chastising the one that at first said he wouldn't, but went and did it, and patting the back of the other one? No, of course not. Because what matters is what they did in the end. Before you sit around and beat yourself up and chastise yourself because I keep doubting God, stop for a minute and say, but what am I doing? It always comes down to that. What am I doing? If regardless of all your feels and your emotions and your whatever the hell you got going on, at the end of the day, you spent today trying to live as upright a life as you can. You tried to treat people as fairly as you could. You tried not to lie to people. You tried to treat people fairly. You tried to not cheat anybody. You tried to do the will of God and walk the path as best as you could find it in the Lord. Even though you're feeling all these feels, yeah, God's pretty good with that. I could say that with quite a bit of confidence. God's pretty good with that. You tried your best to do what he wants you to do, regardless of your fears. And I was sitting there going, well, yeah, you did these things that I wanted you to do. But look, you were feeling this emotion. I'm sorry. None of that counts. Come on now. Jesus himself said he struggled with the notion of having to go to the cross. May the cup be taken from me. No, God's will be done. We covered that, talked about that a little bit last week. So Jesus himself, who was without sin, still struggled with this feeling of anxiety. I don't want to go do this. It's a scary thing. It's a terrifying thing. Be tortured to death. But in the end, he did it, and no sin was found in him. See, at the end of the day, God's more concerned with what you do than what you feel. He knows you're working through those feels. In fact, you probably get bonus points. I don't know. I can't speak for God. You probably get bonus points. Like if something comes easy and you're just like, you know, oh, I just walk away. Yeah, you know, okay, that's great. But how great of an accomplishment is that? How much faith did that take? But if you had all of these distracting emotions and there you used the word doubt. Anxiety, probably a better term. Trepidation. Fearful. Uncertainty. Unrest inside that's just tumultuous in your spirit. Your just heart's just, I don't know. But in the end, you did what you believe God wants you to do. You took the steps. You did it. Everybody else was telling you, you're stupid. What are you doing? What, you shut the hell up. Stop doing what you're doing. It's you just causing yourself problems. But you did it anyway. You said, I believe this is the path God wants me to walk. So you walk it anyway. In spite of those feelings, God knows it took something extra to do that. It didn't come easy. It was a struggle. And yet, you did the will of God. You made the sacrifices necessary by faith to do what you believe God wanted you to do. But at the end of the day, after how many people, how many of you, after the end of the day, you did your best. You did your best to do God's will today. You tried to walk in the Lord. You tried to seek his truth. You tried to understand him. You tried to do all the things you know you're supposed to do. And at the end of the day, you're beating yourself up. I doubted. God, forgive me. I'm doubt. I just keep doubting. I feel anxious. What am I going to do tomorrow? I don't know. I feel this tumultuous feels inside. And God's probably pissed at me because I'm feeling these feels inside because I'm doubting him. But you're not really doubting him. You're acting in faith. What actions are you taking? At the end of the day, judge yourself by, if you're going to judge yourself by your actions. It's fine. Be real with yourself, what you're feeling, but don't feed that. At the end of the day, what actions did you take? Did you run the race today? Or did you just drop out? Did you give up? Ultimately, Satan wants you to drop out of the race. That's his goal. That's his power. Try to get you yourself to make the decision to not turn to Christ, to give up, to drop out of the race, to turn away, just go ahead and hop in the river that's rushing along, that everybody else is floating down the waterfall to hell. Just take the easy path. But you have to make the choice. Satan can't kick your ass into the river. You got to make the choice to give up. Well, everybody else is just floating down the river over the waterfall. I just get in there with them. It's easier. I'm tired of treading water. Tired of trying to swim upstream. Tired of everybody telling me I'm crazy for not jumping in the river with them. Satan can't kick your ass into the river. He don't have that kind of power. He can't snatch you from the hand of Christ. You got to make that decision. Just all the way back, same game book, the same rules apply. You look at the illustration in Genesis of eating the fruit of the knowledge. You know, Satan didn't force feed that down that bitch's throat. He didn't force feed it down Adam's throat. Now, they had to make the choice. I mean, he'd sit there and slick talk them all day long, but in the end, they had to make the choice. Like, people get mad at car dealers, you know? They get mad. Man, they sold me that piece of shit. They sold me that lemon. But in the end, he just slick talked to you. You're the one that chose to ignore the warning signs that this thing might have problems. Is that a knock in the engine? You just let him slick talk you, and at the end of the day, you signed the papers. You're really mad at yourself because you yourself got slick talked into it. It makes you feel foolish. Satan is the shitty used car salesman of sin. He's the shitty used car salesman. He's the crooked used car salesman of sin. He can't force you to say, he can't forge your name on the paper. He's just got to slick talk you into buying this flaming pile of shit here. You don't get sermons like this in the modern church now, do you? All he can do is sweet talk into it. The decision is yours. The end of the day, you didn't drop out of the race. You didn't give up and just decide, it's not worth the effort. Maybe it's not real. Maybe Christ didn't mean it. Maybe God didn't mean that if I keep, you know, if I believe in Christ, and live a life walking this path, running this marathon, swimming upstream. He didn't mean it. Maybe in spite of all those things, because I feel these emotions, he's just going to condemn me anyway. And thus you call God a liar. I just give up. I'm just going to jump into the river of iniquity with the rest of the world. That's where everybody's at anyway. There's just a few people who, like me, stupid enough to try to swim upstream, try to go a different direction, to stay up on the bank and walk this rocky path when you just jump in the river and float. No effort at all. Just give up. Just do that. God doesn't care. She's going to go to all this effort, all this struggle, and in the end, she's probably just going to kick me in hell anyway. Stop. Just stop. What'd you do today? Quit getting hung up on the emotion of feel, calling it doubt. What did you actually do today? Did you do your best to run the race? Did you do your best to keep walking the path, even though it's a difficult path? Did you not give up again today? Did you treat people fairly? Did you do what you know you're supposed to do? Then you're good. God is faithful. Christ went and paid this price so that you could do this, so that you would have the opportunity to walk this path. Wouldn't be possible if Christ hadn't paid the price for you. But he did. He paid that terrible price so that you could walk this path. So that as long as you didn't give up, you could get there. It's not a trick. I'm going to row for you. Right before you get to the finish line, they roll the tape up and say, sorry, race is over. You don't get to finish, even though you struggled all of this time. No. What did you do? Did you keep walking the path? Then quit beating yourself up. Quit telling yourself you're a doubter, you're sinning, you're just no good. God doesn't want you anyway. You open the door to the devil. And that ultimately leads to real doubt, as demonstrated by your actions. Hey, we're actually going to finish pretty close on time this week. It's an amazing thing. But I just thought we'd look at that this week. Kind of a flip side to what we talked about last week. And don't be down on yourself. Don't give up. Just keep going and you're all right. I always say, God has a lot more, how do I want to say it? God has more love and dedication for you than you do for him. This notion that, well, you're still seeking God, and Satan will tell you this, you're still seeking God, but he's long given up on you. You've screwed up one time too many. Then that's putting yourself as what? More righteous than God, loving God more than he loves you? Trust me, you don't. You may think you really love God, but you don't love God more than he loves you. You don't. I mean, it's just you don't. And if you get this mindset that I'm struggling and I'm trying to get closer to God and I'm trying to do his will, I'm trying to live as righteous a life as possible and seek Christ and seek the Lord's will and get to know him in my life. But God, he got fed up with me. I'm just going too slow and he's turned his back on me. Then you are setting yourself up as more righteous and more loving and more faithful than God. Get that crap out of your mind. You're getting everything out of sorts. As long as you're seeking him, he's seeking you. Yeah, he ain't gonna waste his time with you now. You just sit there and say, I'm done with God. I'm gonna go jump in the river of iniquity and float with the world. Now he's gonna let you. I mean, you've got free will. Enjoy hell. But as long as you're earnestly seeking him, earnestly trying to get close, doing the best you can, he ain't giving up on you. Because you don't love him more than he loves you. You are not more faithful to him than he is to you. Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. He will tell you these things. Be gone from me, Satan. Get away from me. Not listening to that. God is more faithful. I put myself in my place. I'm not going to get arrogant. God is not less faithful to me than I am to him. Who am I but a faulty and weak man? We're going to wrap up on that note. Hopefully you got something out of it. Hopefully you got something out of it. Just feeling good with today's show. Glad you could join us this week. We have a lot of fun. Like I said before, it's not possible to have something for everyone each show, but I always hope that there's something for someone. And hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, you can also sit down every Friday for Clown World in Review, a.k.a. The Daily Nationalist with Sven Longshakes. Do a little 30-minute show, news story stuff that we try to find things that are kind of funny and that they're ridiculous, which in a way is easier and in a way is harder in clown world, you know. Comedy, you know, life is itself is becoming such a parody that it's an amazing thing. But anyway, we have a fun time, so if you haven't checked that out, I invite you to do so. So but anyway, either way, I'm glad you stopped by here this week. We'll be back next week, week in, week out. We're here. It's Church of the Lampshade. You don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. So yeah, come around next week and we'll see you right here for the Church of the Lampshade.